The 23rd Psalm, we'll read this portion of God's Word together at this time. Psalm 23 is a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May God indeed bless his word. When we come to Paul's presentation of this ordinance of the Lord's Supper, he emphasizes the importance, in the words of our Lord, that we are to perform this task in remembrance of Christ. This do in remembrance of me. Regarding the cup also, it says, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. And therefore, a central task as we come as God's people around the table is to engage in an active remembrance of our Savior. It is vital that we come here and we consider him. It's vital that we come here and we think upon him, that we remember him. A couple of things came together this week. I was trying to think, well, what will we study around the table for a time this morning? And at the same time, just in my own devotions, I was working my way verse by verse through this 23rd Psalm. And it really struck me very clearly that these things come together. This table and this Psalm. See, to remember Christ is to remember who he is. It is to remember him with regards to his work and his offices. To remember him regarding his person and all that he is to us and for us. And thus we may come here and very helpfully we could think of him as the God-man. He is very God and very man, and we could consider him as our mediator in light of that. We could think of him as our Messiah. We could think of him as our prophet and as our priest and as our king. We could think of him in his offices. We may think of him, if you like, as the Lamb. Or as the Lion, we could think of him as our Lord and as our Groom. But we may helpfully think of him as our Shepherd. And when you consider the Shepherd concept in the Scripture, it does bring us to Calvary. And it brings us to this table. You think of John 10 verse 11, our Lord's own words, I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd give his life for the sheep. In the words of Paul in Hebrews 13, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You think of Peter in 1 Peter 5, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So in John 10, Christ says that he is a shepherd who dies in the room instead of the sheep. Paul refers to his blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant, speaking also of his resurrection, brought again our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Peter speaks of his return in glory. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. All these verses, all three, referring to Christ as the good, the great, and the chief shepherd, they all clearly prove that Jesus Christ is the shepherd of his people. Hence, if we remember him, we can well remember him in the language here of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It's speaking forward to that chief shepherd, that great and that good shepherd, namely Jesus Christ himself. And thus I want to just spend a very brief time to think about our shepherd, our Savior, and his relationship to us, his sheep, in light of this particular psalm. And the first thing we should note is that it is a relationship that is personal. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It is a personal relationship as the Lord condescends to be our shepherd. You ought to remember how the shepherd is viewed in the scriptures. What do the brothers think about David? You're only a shepherd. You only mind a few sheep. You think of how the Egyptians viewed Jacob and his family. They were despised as those who were keepers of sheep. Yet the Lord is willing. The Lord is willing to condescend to become our shepherd. Note that again in our authorized version, the word Lord there is in capitals. The Lord is a reference to Jehovah. Not just our master, not Adonai, but Jehovah, the self-existent God, the one who appeared in the bush. I am the great I am. I am that I am has sent you. It is the self-existent Jehovah who does not in and of himself need to enter a relationship with man that condescends to be your shepherd. He is self-fulfilled and self-existent. In the glory of the Trinity, God is God in and of himself. Therefore, when he comes and enters relationship with us, it is a work of sovereign condescension. Listen to the words we sang in the Psalm 100. Hear the words again of Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The language is one of sovereign possession and sovereign condescension. Just in passing, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. We see therefore that Jesus Christ, being the fulfillment of this psalm, clearly takes himself the term Jehovah Jesus, Jehovah Jesus. He is the Lord and he is our shepherd. He condescends and we gladly comply. The saved, they know their need of a shepherd. We know we are like sheep. We know our weakness. We know our vulnerability. We know our need of direction and protection and provision. We know that we need a shepherd. The ungodly, they think they can do it themselves. But those who are the redeemed of God, they know their need to humble themselves under one who will care for them. And we come and we think about our shepherd today. We come to think of this table. We come to remember him. And we see that we are those who need. We need the shepherd. And therefore the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. These are words of delight and faith and confidence. As he willingly complies to be part of the shepherd's fold. The psalmist takes great delight in these sentiments. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today? It's okay to read the Word of God and refer to Jesus as the shepherd, but is he your shepherd? Have you willingly come under the care of the great shepherd of the sheep? It is a relationship that is personal. It's also a relationship that is practical. The Lord works in this role. If you like, he is active in pursuing the health of the sheep. All the language here refers to the well-being of those under the shepherd's care. He desires the good of the sheep. Look at verse 3 in the first part. He restoreth my soul. Again, that's indication that he desires that the sheep are healthy. He wants them to be well, to be nourished, to be free of illness, and to be healthy under his care. And when we are ill, he comes and cares for us and restores our souls. And so it is that sense of a practical care for the sheep that we see in some of the languages used elsewhere in the psalm. He gives us direction, doesn't he? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We are led by our shepherd. We are not driven, but he leads us in the right path. We see here the gentleness of his dealings. He is tender towards his sheep. He always brings us to the place he would have us to be. When we wander far from the fold, he is glad to bring us back and to lead us again in those paths of righteousness. You know, when we make progress in holiness, it is because the Lord has led us He is the one who leads us in the paths of righteousness. It is for His name's sake, it is for His glory, but He leads us in paths of righteousness. How do you know the Lord is leading you? It's one of those questions young people ask you. I want to be led of the Lord. I want the Lord is leading me. Well, in very simple terms, we know the Lord leads us when we pursue the paths of righteousness. Young people, the Lord is not ever, ever, ever leading you in the paths of sin. When you pursue sin, you do that all on your own. But our blessed shepherd is willing to bring us back from those paths and bring us into the paths of righteousness. There is no shepherd's care when there is no living in righteousness. But He is willing to give us direction in those paths. How does He do that? Well, He does it in various ways, but He gives us also provision. We see that He gives direction, but He also gives provision. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Of course, it's metaphorical language here. It's referring to the sheep having the food for their nourishment. Of course, for the child of God, the food for the soul is Christ. It is the truth of the gospel. I love Spurgeon's comments on this in the Treasury of David. He says this, "There is no fear of biting the bare ground where the grass is long enough for the flock to lie down in it." This is grass you lie down in. None of that fine cut grass. You don't see sheep lying on a golf course. This is verdant pastures. Luscious grass, long grass, and our blessed Savior, He gives us provision, abundant provision in His Word. And if you are a hungry Christian, it is not the fault of the shepherd. You are not opening your mouths. The pastures He leads us in, they are green, they are luscious, they are abundant, and they are in His Word. And the child of God that keeps their mouth closed cannot blame the shepherd when they leave the house of God hungry, or they leave their quiet times hungry. Christ leads us in green pastures. Look what it says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's a lovely picture. It has a sense that the Lord shows us the preciousness of His Word. He's the one who makes us to lie down. He opens up the Word to our souls that we'd benefit from His Word. He leads us also in these still waters, beside the still waters. The image of water in the Word, of course, has various senses. Christ is the water of life to our souls. We drink of Him, we never thirst. The Spirit of God is likened unto water. These are still waters, waters of peace, waters that we drink of, and there is no turmoil in our souls. These are waters that are safe to drink of. They're still, the sheep have no harm in these waters. And of course, you think of the rock smitten by Moses, out of which came the gushing waters. Christ, of course, is those waters, and yet He is the rock. And out of Christ comes every grace for our soul. All of these images, they're given to us because the Lord, He comes as our shepherd and gives us provision, that we would not hunger or thirst. He gives us protection, doesn't He? Verse 11, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's hard to know exactly what's in view here. Is this a description of death itself? Or is it the fact that at times we go through the shadow of death, we go through bouts of severe illness, and we're at death's doorstep, if you like? Whatever the case may be, in terms of interpretation, both are clear. Whether we go through death or through the shadow of death, we still have the presence of our Savior, and He protects us. These are times of danger. We are weak and we are vulnerable, and He used the rod to drive away our enemies, and with the crook, the staff, round our neck, He guides us and comforts us and gives us strength. He gives protection. So much so that He's able to prepare a table in verse 10 in the presence of our enemies. I think we see that here, don't we? And before us in the table, we're living in a fallen world. We're not off the world, and the world hates us because the world hated Christ. And yet we have a table for our souls, provided for us by our blessed shepherd. because he guarantees his presence. It is the fact of verse number 4 that we have these comforts, for thou art with me. It is his presence that guarantees these blessings. Thus verse 5 refers to the joy, thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. These are descriptions of blessing and joy. To the Jewish reader, they'd be describing an abundance of rejoicing. This is a time of celebration, celebrating the care the shepherd has for our souls. We are here to remember him, my shepherd. My shepherd who works on my behalf, whereby I come here not in mourning but in rejoicing. What is the right attitude when you come to the Lord's table? Yes, you examine yourselves, and yes, you think about your sin, but you ought not to spend all your time here in mourning. Make sure when you meditate upon Christ, you get beyond the mourning to the joy, because this is a time to rejoice and to delight in the abundance of the provision of your shepherd, who gave his life for his sheep. It is a personal relationship. It is a relationship that is practical. And finally, it is a relationship that is permanent. Verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second part is true because the first part is true. The only reason we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever is because his goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives. Left to your own devices, we would not end up in the house of God. But because these twin guardian angels, as Spurgeon calls them, of goodness and mercy follows us, we are led into the very house of God forevermore. All the days of my life. The good days, the bad days, the winter days, as well as summer days. In all of those days, goodness and mercy are following us. That word surely, John Gill makes the point that it can be rendered only. The child of God knows unmixed blessings. So that even when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, even then you have goodness and mercy. Goodness providing for us and mercy pardoning of our sins. I know this psalm means a lot to many of you. And I just want to help you to benefit from this table today. That when you come to this table, you remember that you're remembering your shepherd. Don't leave Psalm 23 until you get to your deathbed. It will help you then. But it will be a blessing to your soul today and in the days to come. I have a shepherd, one I love so well, and his name is Jesus. May God help us as we meditate upon him today for his name's sake. Well, let's come again and we'll sing as we come to the table at this